So you think you need better time management, but what if that idea itself was a distraction? In this episode, we're going to dismantle this illusion of time management, and I'll show you how you can take back control over not just your time, but also your decisions. These ideas around motivation and productivity and getting things done and accomplishing our goals, often under this umbrella term of time management, are really outdated in the way that they're approached today. And I've been thinking about these things for over a decade since reading The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss and The Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. Highly recommend reading that if you're interested in these sorts of things. But you won't have to after you listen or watch today's episode, because this is something I've coached hundreds of people on. I've tested dozens of systems. I've slowly built out my own philosophy on how to manage time in a way that actually protects energy priorities and, of course, your health. And that's honestly what led me to even build an online business in the first place, because as I learned these things and I built systems, I created a framework that ensured I couldn't fail no matter what. Often when I coach people, I'll hear things like, you know, I was doing really well and then I fell off and now I want to get back on track. And usually that's holidays, unexpected events, family emergencies where our normal routine is disrupted. And that's going to happen. We have to expect those sorts of things. It's normal. But a lot of times people fall off track for that little bit, especially around December, the holidays approach. They basically break all the rules for the month and then it takes them forever to get back on track, if at all. And that's actually a failure to have an infrastructure in place. And so we're going to get into solving some of these challenges today. And just to be clear, what you're about to see is a condensed version of a much bigger framework that I've been refining for a very long time. I've shared this at paid talks, inside companies, and of course, with my clients. So I've gotten a lot of feedback. I really know this works well. But if you do want to take a deeper dive into these ideas, please let me know. Give me some feedback, because I know this is quite different from the interviews that I usually post, but I have tons of stuff like this, basically stuff that I do with my clients that I can bring to you guys for free as content here on the show. All right, so here we go. Time management is a lie. You're not managing time, you're managing decisions and influence. And before I get into this stuff, if you are listening and not watching, at the very end, we do a tool where it really helps to have that visual. So you can totally continue listening, that's fine. But at the end, or now, you might want to click the link in the show notes so you can see the YouTube video and you can watch and follow along when we use that tool. I do have a whole visual presentation, but you can still get all of the content without watching. So here's the thing. There is some validity to what people do to try to manage time, where they sit down, they make to-do lists. That's fine. No issues with that. Because if you think about it, time is a currency, just like money. So if somebody is trying to build financial wealth, they sit down, they move around numbers on a paper. Ultimately, they're making decisions ahead of time for how they're going to use that money and how they're going to spend or save that money. Well, we already use language around time as if it's that valuable currency. I can't afford to lose time. I'm going to spend time at work. I'll take a shortcut to save time, and I need to budget my time better. So you don't need some kind of time hack. You need a better strategy, the same way where people sit down and strategize with their money. Your time is already being managed, just not by you. So if you don't have systems in place, if you don't have any kind of protocol, routine, or procedure to manage the decisions you're making on a day-to-day basis, someone else is doing that for you. Now, of course, when you go to work, you have to fulfill your obligations. That's not what I'm talking about. But consider how many people go to work and they do the things they're expected to do from others, from their boss, and then they come home and the things they expect of themselves, they don't execute on. So do you respect your boss more than yourself? And if not, what is it that is managing your time for you? Is it that you're just exhausted? Is it that you're distracted and entertained? Is it that you don't have a clear understanding of what your goals are? And to take it further, Every day, you're constantly nudged by the agendas of others. By your phone, when you open up social media, whether you realize it or not, you are being nudged and influenced constantly. When you open up your inbox in your emails and you talk to your friends and you turn on the TV, you're constantly being nudged. And if you're thinking to yourself, no, I'm different, consider an example that everybody can relate to. I go into the store Target and I say, I'm going to buy two things. What happens when I leave that store? I have a cart full of stuff. Most of it I don't even need. Most of it is actually stuff that not only I don't need, but I actively don't want because I told myself I don't want to eat those sweets. And then I put them in the cart anyway. That's not an accident. There are corporate executives who sit around planning exactly how they can influence you with the colors, the packaging, the messaging, the lighting, the smells. Every detail is accounted for to really nudge you in the direction towards the goals they have for you. They're motivated to push you. Where's your level of commitment? What are you putting into place to similarly nudge you? So my point here is it's not only poor planning, it's also environmental programming. What signals is your environment sending you? This is the exact reason we buy things we don't need. We skip things even when we tell ourselves we're going to do them, or we stay stuck in cycles that don't serve us at all because we're triggered by the same stimuli that initiate the same routines. That's how bad habits form. Your environment drives a huge part of it. So again, if you are not doing the things that you want to, the things you are telling yourself is important to do, you are being managed by either someone or something else. And I think that's important to sit with because if that's the case, how much control do I actually even have over my own life? So to recognize these things is to take control of your life. Now, here's something pretty practical. When we don't have some sort of system or infrastructure in place, time can leak out pretty easily. And here are some examples of that. Distractions aren't accidents. They're engineered. So our phone is usually in our pocket. It's sitting in front of us. Do you think it's realistic to have the expectation that you could have the most entertaining device in the history of mankind in front of you and not be distracted by it? So you have to recognize the things that make you tick as it relates to your environment. The phone being in your environment and you having the temptation to be entertained. When you start to recognize these connections, it's easier to figure out what to do about it because and then that might be the hard part where you have to ask yourself, okay, this is what's going on. How do I break this? How do I change this? How do I adjust my environment? How do I adjust myself? And of course, it's not just our phones, it's our TV. Think about it. Everything that comes through the screen on the TV is designed to capture your attention. How easy is it going to be to put attention towards your goals and priorities when it's designed to capture your attention in the most entertaining possible way with designed narratives and blue light, which actually can be addictive? It's dopaminergic, meaning it spikes the dopamine. So, I mean, you have everything working against you in your environment if you're not acknowledging the role that the triggers in your environment play. Technology is a big part of it, and that's where time often leaks out for many people. And one more quick thing on technology, it might be worth going into your phone settings and checking your screen time. Are you spending hours on TikTok and Instagram? Some people might feel uncomfortable, like, oh, well, I like the TikTok video. That's fine. Watch the TikTok videos. But my point is, how much is that contributing to your goals? Because you might say, well, self-care is important to me and I get value and joy out of watching them. That's fine. But are you getting that joy for 4 straight hours while you're sitting on the toilet for most of the time? You know, be realistic. I'm not saying get rid of all the TikTok videos that you like, but is it robbing you of your success towards your goals? All right. I spent a lot of time on this slide. So the last one's real quick. Burnout. Time can definitely lead out. Maybe you have this burst of motivation and you say, you know what? I've been dragging my feet. I got to get things moving. And then you push and you push and you push. And then you burn yourself out and you don't do anything for 2 months or more. That's actually called precrastination. I was involved in the research with the team at Penn State University who really discovered that phenomenon of precrastination. I see this all the time in health coaching where people say, I have all these goals. I want to lose weight and I want to run a Spartan race and I want to look my best. And I've wanted this for the past 5 years and I've been dragging my feet. And so I basically have to do 5 years of work all of next week. That's procrastination. It's the same thing as having 30 bags of groceries in your car and you just grab all of them at once and your veins are bursting out of your head instead of doing the more moderate pace, taking a few bags at once, and it's not as effortful. So it's more effortful to actually procrastinate and burn yourself out and take on too much at once. That is not the path to success. If you burn yourself out, you're kind of backed into a corner where you can't really do much. And then the one last point here on where time leaks out is really quite tricky. And it's what I call productive procrastination. Not precrastination like we just talked about, but most people are aware of procrastination. So productive procrastination is different because we're still checking things off our list. It's still things we need to do, but it's ultimately a distraction from the main priorities that we have. So maybe at work, I know I have this important report to type up and I know I really have to get it done. But what do I decide to do instead? I decide to start doing the laundry, even though I know that can wait a few days. And I decide to, oh, you know what? Now I notice that I need to clip my fingernails and all these frivolous, silly little things that you start to notice that immediately move to the top of your list when you actually have important things to do. You are fooling yourself when you do that. That is procrastination of the productive form. So again, you're getting things done, but really it's a distraction from what you really need to get done. So a big part of the answer to all of this is really a mindset shift to be able to recognize these things. I mean, it is the epitome of being healthy and awake. We all know already that we should eat a healthy diet and we should move around a little bit. But what makes us here different as a community is healthy and awake. It's not just about being healthy. So this idea of, oh, it's the time needs to be managed. It's the time's fault. There's not enough hours in the day, which is an actual phrase. And all of those things absolve us of the responsibility. It's a way to look at things in a way that makes us feel less uncomfortable about us not taking action and doing the things that we need to do. We need to be awake to what drives us internally and what drives us externally. Time is an illusion for all intents and purposes. You are the boss, not time. You are the boss. You're the one making the decisions here. And to look at it any other way is shifting away the responsibility that you need to get this stuff done. So don't let triggers pull your strings and push your buttons. Make decisions consciously. Write your own plan. Reflect on what it would actually take for you to stop being influenced by all of these distractions, these nudges, these influence campaigns, whether it's marketing or propaganda or peer pressure. So ask yourself right now in this moment, who's the boss? Are you the boss? Is it your environment? Is it your emotions? Who's really running the show here? So here's an example of one of my favorite routines that I do every morning that's been an absolute game changer. And it works for me so well because I'm stacking multiple things basically under one activity, and that activity is walking. So now when I wake up in the morning, I go on a walk, and at the same time, I'm getting morning sunlight, which is very important if you've listened to past episodes with Dr. Jack Cruz, with Dr. Martin Maureed, with Dr. Michael Twyman, where we talk about circadian biology. If you've seen those episodes, you know that getting morning sunlight is imperative. So by walking in the morning, I actually accomplish multiple things on my list at once. I'm getting morning sunlight. I'm being mindful because I'm not playing music or anything like that. I'm just present in the moment. And I'm doing nasal breathing, which is a whole other topic, but it does have specific benefits. So by making a slight adjustment to my morning routine, just by adding a walk in the beginning as the first thing, it not only allowed me to accomplish multiple things that I want out of my routine, but also because of the positive health effect that it had, it really affected the rest of my day in a very positive way. And this is something I often tell to my clients. And when they decide to try this as well, it is always a powerful experience. We all have a morning routine, even if it's not written down on paper. Whatever you wake up and you consistently do over time in the morning is your morning routine. Same thing with a nighttime routine. We all have a nighttime routine. For many of us, I been hearing this for years from many people. I come home from work around 6 o'clock. I eat dinner pretty much right away. And then I just veg out and I watch TV and I flip through my phone. And that takes up 4 to 5 hours until I crash at 11 p.m. And then I wake up and I go to work and the cycle repeats. And that's fine. But where is actually the time for you? Because it seems like you're sleeping for maybe 8 hours. Then you're going to work for around 8 hours. And then all those goals and ambitions you have that would make your life better, according to your own words, are not being acted on. And instead, just looking at screens all night. And I mean, there's a lot to that. That's what I help my clients with, right? You know, there's decision fatigue and proper planning. There's a lot to that. But my point here is, in saying this, is not to be judgmental, but it's really a wake-up call for you who says that I want to accomplish all these things and I have all these ambitions and these goals and how much better my life would be if I did X, Y, and Z. And we give all of that effort to our boss, to some guy who doesn't care about us. So again, tough love. I really don't mean to sound mean, but I don't see any way to be soft about this and actually be effective. So one way to make this a lot easier is to standardize your routines. That morning routine you have, that morning routine, that nighttime routine that you have, any routines around health or kitchen time, you have these routines in your life that just happen automatically. And that's why we don't think about them. But when we do start to think about them and we take them from just automatic running in the background to putting them on paper and making them tangible, that's how we can exponentially increase our chances of success. And I know that because this is the same tactic that businesses use to make millions of dollars, that astronauts use to make sure they get into space safely, that brain surgeons use to make sure they don't mess anything up during surgery. You need standard operating procedures. And again, you're already doing this. You're already executing on standard operating procedures for your boss. Every time you go into work, there is a protocol for the things that you need to do, whether it's onboarding clients or dealing with a customer complaint or closing the shop, whatever it is, you have standard operating procedures. And I know I've been saying this over and over again, but you're doing all these things for your boss. You're giving him your time, your motivation, your effort. You're executing on standard operating procedures all at the same time while you tell yourself, I have all these things that I want to do. The answer is so simple. Use the tactics that they're using. If the business is using standard operating procedures to build themselves success, to reduce chances of error, to allow themselves to scale and build on it, and even if something goes wrong and things go off routine, well, it doesn't matter. You have a standard operating procedure to keep you on track, to fall back on. That applies to you as an individual. If you have a standard operating procedure, just something to really center you and keep you grounded, something that you design yourself for you and what you want to accomplish. What do you think happens the next time those holidays roll around in December? Maybe you do slip up. Maybe you tell yourself, I'm going to break the rules for a week. No problem. You this time will find it much easier to get back to where you were because you're not starting from scratch. You don't have to find the emotion. You don't have to change your habits and routines to a large extent because you've built a solid infrastructure known as standard operating procedures. And you can start this right now. Here's the best way to start this right now. Sit down and just write whatever you do in the morning, whatever you already do. Don't try to change it. Don't try to build on it. Don't build a new routine. Write down what your morning routine currently is. Boom, you just made a standard operating procedure. And the best part is you're already doing it. Now you've given yourself a foundation to build on. So let's say you have 10 steps in your morning routine. All right, what's one slight change you can make? And we've already talked about this, so I think you get the idea. And I mean, I could talk for hours about standard operating procedures. If you're at work and you talk about them, maybe you even hate hearing standard operating procedure. But it is the answer to shielding you from all those distractions and influences and noises and nudges and errors, mistakes and burnout and guesswork and fatigue. And I can go on and on. There's a reason that businesses spend a lot of time and money making sure they have all their standard operating procedures into place. But you don't need to do it on the level of a business. You only have a handful of routines, your morning routine, your health routine, your nighttime routine, your kitchen routine, And that's pretty much it for most people. This next part is very important because when a lot of people think about time management, they immediately get a sense of doom and gloom about all the obligations that they have on their plate. And I think if that's your immediate reaction, you're looking at it totally wrong, because the point is really not to just load up your plate with all the boring responsibility, obligatory stuff that you have to get done, but rather as a means to more easily achieve balance between those boring obligations and the things that are important to you on a deeper level, like your health, your values, your purpose. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your side business. So whatever it is you do have on your plate, I think it's important to have that mindset going into it. Because if your mindset, when you're going to sit down and plan, is, oh, like, let me just schedule out all the boring obligations and how can I fit more boring obligations in there? And oh, by the way, maybe I can squeeze in some health or family time or values or something purposeful in there. I think that's the wrong way of looking at it. And it'll become more clear at the very end when we do the time budget sheet, which we're going to do very soon. Now, I don't want to give you the false idea that by implementing one or two tools that it's just going to take all of the work out of it and it's going to take no effort on your part. That is not the case. It's still going to take an element of discipline. But here's the good news. Discipline can be made easier. And I think a perfect example to put this into perspective is the military. The military runs on standard operating procedures. You have to wake up at a certain time. You have to make your bed a certain way. You have to be at exact locations at exact times, wearing exact types of clothing, knowing exact types of information. Everything is exact, precise, systematized, standard operating procedures. And in that context, it's easier to be disciplined because you know exactly what you're supposed to do. You have guidance, you have rules, instructions. If you don't have that framework in place, how the hell can you be disciplined? You don't even know what you're being disciplined towards. So you actually do have to create a set of rules for yourself. And I know people don't like that word rules, but it's the same thing as the standard operating procedure. By saying, let's say on a piece of paper, you have your morning routine. Those are the rules. This is what I do in the morning. And you're a free adult. You could definitely take that piece of paper, crumble it up and say, hey, I'm living as a free person today. I'm not following the rules. You can still do that. You're not tattooing the standard operating procedure onto your chest. It's just there to help you and keep you on track, especially in moments when it's most tough. It's going to make discipline much, much easier. But you can't expect to be good at discipline if you don't have any kind of framework in place. If there's no standard operating procedure, what are you even being disciplined about? So you need to make it clear. The more clear you make the picture, the more clear you make your decisions by externalizing them into standard operating procedures, the easier discipline will be. So that's the most important point there. But here's a few extra bonus points on the topic of discipline. Prioritize chill time, self-care, however you want to put it. If that's actually a carrot at the end of the stick, if you have something rewarding to work towards, it's going to be easier to do all the boring stuff first. And along those same lines, there's this saying, eat the frog. I think it was Mark Twain who said, your day will be a lot easier if you start your day by eating a frog, meaning do something difficult first, and it'll be easier to get things done. But maybe you have a big project and it's kind of paralyzing to just think of the monstrosity ahead of you. There's another phrase about eating elephants. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So don't look at the whole elephant. You don't even want to look at it. If you're trying to eat an elephant and you have an entire elephant on your plate, you're going to walk away. But if you go ahead and sorry, elephant, poor elephant, but if you go ahead and you cut out a tiny piece of that elephant, put it on a plate and you go in the dining hall, well, you can eat that tiny little piece. So how can you break bigger projects up into bite-sized little pieces? And then the last one here is for the most stubborn people who find discipline just impossible, is a lockbox timer. This is something that I have done in the past when I was really bad with eating sugar. And so you can go on Amazon and look up kitchen lockbox timer and put you know, whatever your snacks are, whatever it is you're trying to abstain from, and it'll lock for up to like 99 days. So that can be really a great way to give yourself no choice in the matter, but doesn't really help with discipline. It kind of just restricts you from doing the things you don't want to do. The two tools that we discussed today, the standard operating procedures by standardizing your routines, as well as the time budget sheet that we're going to do next, are your weapons of defense in the war for your attention. The phone, the TV, the computer, your friends, every aspect of your environment is trying to capture your attention. And you need to not only defend yourself, but you need to move towards your own agenda. So take the wheel or somebody else will. And this next tool is the second one that's really going to help with that. So let's go right now over to the time budget sheet. Right now, we are looking at an example of a time budget sheet that I use with clients. And by the way, the tool that I'm using here is called Canva. You can sign up for free or there's a paid membership. So by clicking the link for this in the show notes, anyone can go and on the screen, just like I'm doing here, can adjust their own time budget sheet. And just to be clear, when I say time budget sheet, it is a sheet here that has all the time. So everybody has the same amount of time. That's all there. That's the infrastructure of the sheet. But we're really budgeting our decisions. That's what's different from me to you and everybody else. We all have different decisions about how we want to spend our time. We're not managing our time here. The time is what we have to work around. We're managing our decisions. If you're looking at this, you can see there are 7 timelines that run down the page that start at 5 a.m. all the way up to 12 a.m. So this can change depending on someone's schedule if need be. But each of these 7 timelines, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way up to Saturday, and it visually depicts how you are currently blocking your time. Everybody's obviously different with their schedule. This is just one example that I did with a client. So let me clear some of this up so you can actually see what this is like in practice. Normally, I start very open and just say, all right, what are the non-negotiables? What is already accounted for? Just like if you were budgeting for money, what's already accounted for? What money has to be put aside for rent, for food, for gas, those sorts of things? Same idea here. What is maybe your work routine? That is the biggest one that's non-negotiable because you have to do that. And when we schedule this, we want as few blocks as possible. So I don't want every minute detail here. Notice there's only 5 boxes here. I don't want 7 a.m. I wake up, 7:15 I drink water and make coffee, 7:30 I go poop. You know, I don't want any of that. That would be impossible to really make any use of this. So you want the whole routine captured in a box. So that includes for work, what time do you walk out the door from your house to get to work? And what time do you walk in the door home? So travel's included. So people might say, well, I leave at 8 and I get home because of traffic. I leave work at 5, but I get home at 6. So then we'll say, all right, if you leave at 8 and you get home at 6, that's your whole work routine there, 8 to 6. All right, now let's work backwards for your morning routine. If you leave at 8, what time do you wake up to start your morning routine? They might say, all right, 5:30. So from 5:30 to 8 a.m., that's my morning routine. Then I go to work from 8 to 6. Then I eat dinner from 6 to, let's just say 8, because that includes watching TV, chilling, flipping through the phone. Then I usually go to bed at 10:30. That's when I go to bed, which leaves this gap here, right? So gap between dinner and bed. And I'll say, okay, so what's going on there? And everybody has a different answer. Maybe they're doing work. Maybe they're doing chores. Maybe they're doing nothing at all. Different for everybody. So now we've just built out pretty much a standard day, okay? And we're going to take this, assuming that all the weekdays are the same. We just copy it down to each day. And I should mention, by the way, this is something I do even in the $1 first session that I do with clients. So if this is something you want your help walking through every step, bring it up. You can fill out the form in the show notes. I'll give you a call. We'll set up an appointment. The $1 appointment, we can walk through this and with no other expectations. I mean, if you just want help with this, let me know because I'd be happy to do it. So continuing here, we're just filling out the rest of the weekdays, just so we can get a look of how we're currently spending our time, just an overview, if Monday through Friday is exactly the same. All right. So now we go, all right, this is what my day currently looks like. And even if you want, we can delete the unplanned one so you can really see the gaps of time there. But some people might want to say, I specifically want that as unplanned time. That's a separate topic. So, okay, this is what my schedule looks like. Are we missing anything here? Someone might say, yeah, every Sunday morning I go to church, or every Saturday I go hang out with friends. So at this point, once we have all the obligations filled in, I zoom out and basically I'll say, what is your first impression? Some people are relieved. Some people are overwhelmed. Some people have ideas right away. But we just want, you know, an assessment. Because some people, let's say this is their routine. Every day they come home from work. And I mentioned this earlier that some people do this. Every day I come home from work and my dinner routine, my after work routine goes from 6 to 10:30. So 4.5 hours. You're not eating dinner for 4.5 hours. You came to me. You said, I'm trying to exercise and I'm trying to change my eating habits and I want to walk more. And you're eating dinner for 4.5 hours. I just don't believe it. So something's going on here where people, they don't plan the time. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's no plan for the time. And it ends up being just mindless nothingness, scrolling TV, sitting there staring at the wall. Again, there's nothing wrong with just doing those sorts of things, but it does become a problem for the individual when they're saying they want one thing. And you can see right here, we have the receipts. Look at the evidence. You're saying you want to exercise and you're spending your nighttime routine for 4.5 hours flipping through TikTok. So this makes it very hard to make excuses when you can see how you're spending your time. People say, oh, I don't have time. I'm just so busy. Then we look at it and they're like, okay, then they have to confront. So maybe that's you right now. You might be doing this exercise. You have to confront the reality of how you're spending your time. So, I mean, there's so many different things. People are different, different goals, different routines. There's a lot that can be done with this. And it's hard for me to give you really general advice without working with you specifically. So if this is something you want to work on, check the show notes because I will have a link so you can download this and do it on your own if you want. Or if you want help, I will walk through this with you and go over it in detail and really do my best to help you within even just that $1 first health coaching session. And one last thing as a quick reminder, like I said at the beginning, this is obviously quite different from the interviews that I usually do. So if you do like this format, please give me some feedback. Let me know, because I have an infinite collection of frameworks, systems, coaching insights, all things that have been created from my own experience coaching people and applying these things even into my own life. So any feedback helps. Check the show notes. The links will be there. And I hope this was helpful. So stay healthy, stay awake. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Healthy and Awake Podcast. Please remember to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple. Or if you're watching this on Rumble or YouTube, please be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a comment down below. Let us know what you thought or if you had any questions based on what we talked about in this episode. And of course, it couldn't hurt to share it with your friends, those who maybe are awake or those, of course, who are waking up. Thanks again. Stay healthy, stay awake.